SiriusXM NFL Radio, along with Coach Charlie Weiss, Bob Papa here on the opening drive. And obviously we're getting you set for the divisional playoff round, talking about the coaching carousel. But, you know, there's always the important issue in the NFL is about safety, player safety, and head trauma, and so on and so forth. And it's always good to hear perspectives and thoughts on this subject matter because it's important. You know, I got kids that played football as youngsters, and one of them is still playing high school football, and you want to make sure that they're safe, but you want to make sure that you're getting the right information as well. Merrill Hodge, who was a 10th-round draft pick. That's right, folks. There used to be 10 rounds in the draft. There used to be even longer than that. But he joins us on the guest line right now. Merrill, Bob Papa, Coach Weiss, thanks for a couple minutes this morning. How are you?
Bob's my pleasure. Coach, good to be part of your show this morning, man.
Yeah, good morning. Good to hear from you. We're fired up to talk to you.
Yeah. Merrill, talk about the book that you have that deals with the bad science behind CTE and the plot to destroy football. The name of the book is Brainwashed. And give our audience a little taste of what this book dives into, because I think it's fascinating.
Well, Bob, actually, you know, you kind of set it up beautifully, because I was a concerned parent too. I'm a guy that's lived almost every aspect of this, and I would read the headlines no different than I think anybody else, where you see all these scary headlines. But I've known this about media since I've been in it for over 30 years on both sides of it. I've coached it, played it at every level. I mean, if you read some of the articles, it just didn't make sense. But I have a life philosophy that I use all the time, find a way. And that's always inspired action. So, quite honestly, I wanted to find out what the truth was. And what I started to discover is that the only way you could ever know the truth about something scientific, it's not the local media, it's not Sports Illustrated, it's not the New York Times, you got to go to the scientific journal. You got to go to the scientific papers and the people that wrote them and do it. So that's what I did. I went across the United States, even up into Canada. I visited with every neuropathologist that was trained, certified, board certified, that would sit with me and explain it to me. And I'd ask them, okay, now listen, explain this to me. What is CTE? All of them would say this, and this is their universal response. Merrill, it's a pattern. We don't know what causes it, and we don't know what it causes. We're in an observation state. We have cases in the medical journal where they never played football, never played hockey, never played contact sports, never had a history of head trauma that have this. We don't know where it stems from. Now, I'm saying, no, wait, time out. You have cases where they never played sports, never had a history of head trauma, and they're like, that's why we're in an observation state. Once I started to figure out what the scientific literature said, it became extremely disturbing that is not what we see, and that's not what the narrative is driving. That's not what we see in the media. And then something you got to have 100% clarity in. People, you know, on the other end of this, if they're listening, they're like, oh, he's a denier. You know, you're denying. Before you say that, the one thing that actually is a denier is somebody that has failed to or won't read the scientific literature. Now, when I say scientific literature, just a quick story. Somebody actually sent me, and I said, if you find in the scientific literature anything where it says concussions cause CTE, you even find anything in the scientific literature that subconcussion is actually scientific, send that to me. Well, somebody sent me a Sports Illustrated article and saying, there's your information. I'm like, okay. Just so you know, Sports Illustrated is not a scientific journal. It's things like JAMA. That's where you have to go read the scientific literature. And that's what drove it, the book. I didn't set out to write a book, Bob, to be honest with you. I just wanted to find out what the facts were. But based on what I have lived as a parent, a player, and a coach, when I found out how disturbingly wrong the narrative is in the media, I just thought, wouldn't it be nice to know all the information, present that to families so that they have all of the truth, and that'll help them make a decision. I even created a website, brainwashedbook.com. We put the scientific literature there for you to read, to help you out. I'm not sitting there saying, hey, believe me, because I'm the messenger. I'm just sharing what the scientific literature says. And if you read it for yourself, you'll be empowered, because if you think head trauma just happens in sports, you're crazy. You can slip in a shower, fall off a trampoline. There's a whole host of ways you could have head trauma. It's not just in sports. And this book helps you with how to treat it, how to care for it, how to handle it, and where we are in sports today. If I said, hey, listen, pick an era of when you wanted to play sports. If you didn't pick today, you are grotesquely uninformed. We have the best environment in the history of sports for our kids, from protocols, treatments, equipment, instruction, all the things that are implemented today. And keep in mind, no scientific literature whatsoever exists that says if your kids play contact sports, they're going to have issues later in life. There is not one shred of evidence of that scientifically.
Wow. That is some strong stuff. You know, it's funny when, you want to be in the know and get a good feel for this so you can talk about it, you know, intelligently without just giving your opinion. But a guy like you who's lived it and then studied it and then researched it and then put it on, you know, put it in words in a book. I mean, I think this is going to have to be a must read, because I don't think people get it. Is that what you find when you're talking to people? They just really don't understand all the idiosyncrasies that go with this?
Absolutely, Coach. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest problems. Interviews that I have had that people have read the book, they have been extremely beneficial and constructive. Now, there's a lot of people, especially in the media, you know, that have wrote evaluations of the book yet never even read it. Now, how you get – that is the most grotesque, incompetent journalism I could ever even dream of, but it exists. Not everybody does it, but a mass majority do it. And I've had interviews where people is like, I want to do an article on your book. I go, did you read it? No. I said, well, how are you going to do that if you didn't read the book? You know, listen, and you always have to refer to what are the facts. Where do you want to find the truth in this? It is not in the media. It is not in your local paper. It is not in USA Today. It is not in Sports Illustrated. It's clearly not in the New York Times. You have to read the actual scientific literature. And then I'm going to tell you this. It can be somewhat complicating and confusing. They do a lot of things from, you know, the methodology of things. Very important to read in the scientific literature, meaning how did they go about it? How was the process? Understanding those processes are vital to how good the science is, which was one thing that was really disturbing. As neuropathologists really sat and explained a lot of these papers to me, when you thought about the or read the methodology and the way they went about the testing of it, it is the lowest grade, bottom barrel degree of science that you could ever do, and keep your head just above integrity. Keep yourself with a little bit of integrity. That's how really awful the scientific work has been done to this point. But yet in the headlines, you see words like cause and link, and those words do not exist in the scientific literature at all.
Hey, on a sidebar, Merle, do you think you could bring some of this psychology to your old team? see if you can't straighten out some minds over there. Because it seems like there's a serious mind problem. Your thoughts on that?
Well, listen, this is what I've always experienced as a player, a coach, and I know that you guys could probably echo this and different experiences in life. You find out about people when things go wrong, are rough or tough. You know, and I just think that's what you saw, unfortunately, in Antonio Brown. You know, I mean, I've never believed in, agents, there's a purpose for them. An agent, listen, I'm never going to have an agent call my coach for me. Soon as I heard that, that told me everything
did
I needed
laugh?
To hear.
Did you laugh when you heard that? I actually laughed.
I could not believe, and if I don't think fans really understand just how disrespectful that is and cowardly that is. If you got a problem, you know Mike Tomlin. You call. You know John Norwig. You got their numbers. You call them. Why would you have your agent call? And that speaks volumes right there. And it's just, you know what? When your personal ego and greed trump your vision, usually it ends bad.
Well, the ultimate team sport. I mean, he knows where the coach's office is. Forget about even having to call him.
Yeah. I can't even tell you what level of just like I'd be embarrassed that my coach had to call me. I mean, my agent had to call a coach for me. Are you serious? Tell him my knee hurts. I walk in there, I talk to him like a man, like a pro, and I handle it. I don't have my agent call. I'll never understand. There's no excuse for that. Unless you're on your deathbed and you just can't make the call. I get that.
You know, this is such an interesting topic. I don't even want to be disrespectful and go into the games this weekend and everything. You know, because I love the topic of this book. I mean, I didn't know about the book until today. Well, actually, till last night. And I love the topic of the book because I can't wait to get my hands on it and go ahead and read it. Because as you and I have kind of lived through the same time span in the NFL,
yeah.
And as you watch guys that used to, you know, get their clocks clean, go to the sideline, you know, shake their head a couple times and then go back in to now, if they get their clocks clean, they're going into a tent and going into protocol. You know, we've watched how the game has evolved and changed. And you'd like to say it's always good to err on the side of caution.
Okay? Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm a big fan on err on the side of caution. But the game has evolved so much over the last 30 years. You've seen it go from, you know, players telling you, I don't even remember half the game, to now, if you know, you even look dazed and confused for a play.
Absolutely.
You're going in the locker room and you're gone for at least a week.
Yeah.
But can you at least tell people, you know, from an ex-player's viewpoint, the value of the teams that have had to buy in the playoffs? The 1 and 2 seeds that didn't have to play week one. Can you at least, because I'm telling it from a coach's viewpoint, and maybe they don't understand how valuable that is. From a player's viewpoint, can you tell me what you think on that?
Yeah, you know, coach, here's my perspective because I experienced both. This is not probably going to help you, what I'm about to say, because we were a team in 1989 where actually Chuck Noll was the only year he was named coach of the year, quite honestly, which shocks a lot of people, even myself, that he wasn't awarded to that until 1989. But we make the playoffs by a shoestring. I mean, we had to have all kinds of things work in our favor. It did. We have to go to Houston, who's one of the best teams in all of football, and we got to beat them. They've already beat us twice. We beat them in the wild card game. We end up going to Denver. We lose by a point, or we would have went to the AFC Championship game. Okay, so having that bye, we didn't have it. And we went on one of the best runs and a crazy run from a playoff perspective. Well, then you fast forward a few years later, we have the best record, I believe, in all of football, clearly the AFC, but we have home field advantage throughout. We have the bye week. We have the Buffalo Bills coming in after they just come from behind against the Houston Oilers and the greatest comeback in NFL history. No Jim Kelly. And they beat us. We're like, we had the bye week. I'm like, you kidding me? Now, one thing that did happen that was a real difference maker in that, and Bill Cowher has talked about this before, as a coach, he even talks about the mistake he made. He made a rule when he first came as a head coach, you don't lose your job to injury. And our quarterback, Neil O'Donnell, got hurt. Bubby Brister plays the last 6 weeks. And his last 5 or 6 weeks that he played were the best 5 or 6 weeks that we had throughout the season. I don't care what 5 or 6 weeks you pick. He was just on fire. And Neil hadn't played for over 2 months, and they started him in that game. And just even Neil tell you, I mean, he was just a half a beat behind. He was not in rhythm of the game. Those 2 months had really affected him, and it cost us. You know, we were 1 and done that year, and we had to buy, and we had home field advantage throughout. So experience-wise, it didn't go well for us. And momentum that we had in 89, man, we just took that right in to the playoffs. Now, I will tell you this, it is nice to have that week off. That being said, because
physically,
yes, but, it know, does. It yeah. really does help.
Well, I mean, Belichick didn't quite live by the same philosophy, because I remember Bledsoe going down and some little skinny little kid comes in at quarterback, and
the rest is history.
When Bledsoe was back ready to go, he was a very unhappy camper because we didn't make that switch.
Hey, Merrill, I got a question for you.
Fire.
Are you? Can I take the? We got a commercial coming up here.
Yeah.
Can you stay through the commercial and we can finish this with you on the other side?
Absolutely.
I got a couple more questions about the book.
Absolutely.
All right, Merrill Hodge joining us. Beautiful. Bob Papa, Coach Charlie Weiss. 2 minute drill time. SiriusXM NFL Radio, along with Coach Charlie Weiss, Bob Papa here on the opening drive. We're joined by Merrill Hodge, longtime broadcaster and NFL player. He's got a new book out called Brainwashed, and generous enough to spend some more time with us. The bad science behind CTE and the plot to destroy football. Merrill, you know, one of the things, look, we all go into this eyes wide open, right? We know that there are inherent dangers in playing this sport. It is a violent sport, and you protect your kids. I got my kids in X-Tech pads.
Yep.
I got the best helmet that I can find for my kids. And then, you know, make sure that they're being coached properly.
Yep.
So that, minimize the chances. Make sure they're practicing properly, more importantly, and then being coached properly. You know, it's interesting, though. The thing that always bothers me about this is, I guess because football is the biggest sport, you know, as far as revenues and everything else, that it's sort of it's the one that everyone points to. You know, where's the science behind kids heading a soccer ball on a ball that's being kicked 30 yards in the air from when they're, you know, 8 years old through high school and the head trauma that causes? Or when I coached baseball, that's the sport that I coached because of the football schedule. And I can't tell you the amount of times that I didn't have kids available to me for games, whether it's in the town league or travel, because they also played hockey and they had a concussion. Yep. And they couldn't play. Or lacrosse kids with concussions. Football seems to be the only one that's being earmarked as dangerous, when in fact there are a lot of other sports that are also dangerous out there, and head trauma is a factor, but it seems to be football is the sport that needs to be abolished.
And that's actually, you know, what's, I think, the most disturbing thing. You look at legislation in California. They want to ban tackle football. I think Illinois, New Jersey has this, to ban tackle till age 14. First of all, there's no scientific evidence that our kids playing contact sports at any given age are going to have issues later in life. There is zero evidence of that. And I keep saying zero scientific evidence of that. Make sure you read the scientific literature, not the local paper. That's not a scientific journal. When you look at that, they've excluded other sports, boxing, MMA fighting. Now, those two, the whole goal is the head. But you can start that at age 8. And you know what was interesting? And this has happened in the media many times when we've had these conversations. You're like, not only does every sport have head trauma, potentially have a head trauma, activities from wheeled sports are the most dangerous things your kids can possibly do until they get a driver's license and get into a car. All kinds of activities. My son's first concussion was slipping in a shower 4 days before his first bowl game as a freshman. Well, he's ineligible because it's 4 days before. It doesn't have to happen in a football environment, just at any environment. So to sit there and say, oh, we're going to protect kids, and then you have no scientific evidence of that, and then you target one thing, is really ignorant. It's ignorant and wrong. Now, you talk about all the things that we have done to make sports better and safer. It is incredible. Protocols alone make it a much better, safer environment, as long as they're implemented and you take action in your youth programs. The treatments and therapies that are available now, and we do a really good job in the book so that parents and people understand all of the incredible things that are available to help our brains repair, the brain health, and how much we really control that based on our lifestyles and how much we can help it. equipment that you mentioned, paper mache to what we had as kids, instruction, how we're going about it. If I gave you an era that you got to play youth sports, if you didn't pick today in this era, you are grotesquely uninformed, because it is the best time to be playing sports for our kids, and we're taking our kids out because we're uninformed. Now, are they scared? For good reason. They've read the headlines. And that's why I think this book is so important for families and parents to read it, to educate yourself and empower yourself. And people go, well, you're not going to change my mind. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in opening up your mind, giving you all the facts, then you do with it what you think is best for your family.
So that what would your advice be then as a parent, just as a parent, you know, that their kids are, you know, at that football playing age, what would you just tell them? If you're sitting down having dinner, what are you saying to them?
If my kids want to play football, well, you know, listen, when Bo wanted to start playing, my son, I always use my experience. Bo wanted to start playing at age 7. Okay, and Bo was meant to play football. Okay, Bo played all kinds of sports, but he loved football. And the age that he could start was age 8. But they said, listen, if Bo wants to play, if you want to coach, we'll let him start. So that's how I started coaching youth football, even though I've been running camps since 1991 and youth, working with kids from 8 to 18. But there's oftentimes, I've always had this conversation with parents, with a kid that's on my team that I know doesn't want to be there. And I'll go over and talk to him, and I'll say, hey, what do you like doing? And he'll give me a whole host of things. I go, you want to be here? And he's like, no. I go, what do you want to do? And he gives me a list of things. So then I talk to the parents. I'm like, you know, Billy Bob doesn't want to be here. And they're like, oh, I know. We brought him because you coach. And I'm like, no, you're not helping me. I go, but here it is. He has a few other passions. Feed his passion. You know, let him do the things that he wants to do or she wants to do. Don't bring him here because that's what you want to do. So I try to, listen, I'm not going to tell parents what to do, but the one counsel I have given to parents in the past is find what your kid's passion is. Feed that passion. Be grateful they have a passion. And if it's not football, that's okay. You know, that's why Bo played all kinds of sports, whatever. And if it wasn't even sports he didn't like, I was going to be all in at whatever passion he chose. It's just it's an easier journey. It's a more fun journey, you know, and you put your kids in an environment that they love and they're passionate about.
Merrill, just to wrap it up, and we're talking with Merrill Hodge, who's got a very important book that we encourage you to go out and read, called Brainwashed. And I just want to ask you about the games this weekend. Obviously, all the road teams are underdogs. Is there one underdog that you like to pull off the upset?
You know, San Diego is a team that I would be concerned about. I don't care who, you know, they go to Kansas City, that doesn't bother them. They already won there. The way they've won on the road, the way they've played on the road, you know, if I heard their philosophy right, they've been on the road for a while. And if you think about it, they have. Technically, their home's not really been their home or won't be their home. So this team, it doesn't faze them, you know. And it's so ironic. I was just talking to Ben Roethlisberger the other day, and we were just talking about what it's like to be on the road and how rowdy the fans get. And if fans really knew, that is such a motivation for the opposing team. It's not a hindrance. You learn how to play with noise. Noise is not a factor. In fact, the more you're on the road, the less relevant it is. The more you enjoy it, quite honestly, because the silence that you leave that stadium with if you win is epic. It maybe is more powerful than when you win at home, is when you do stuff like that on the road. So I don't know, San Diego, just watching them and what they have done this year, they would be a team I'd be really concerned about.
Hey, how can fans get a hold of the book?
You know what? They can go to Amazon or brainwashedbook.com. We have all the scientific literature there, podcasts to help parents with information, and those two great sources to grab the book.
Merrill, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys. I sure appreciate
it. It's been great, Merrill. Thank you.
Anytime, man. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. The name of the book is Brainwashed, The Bad Science Behind CTE and the Plot to Destroy Football. And it's a book about facts and medical writings and journals. And encourage parents out there to go and read the book. Educate yourself a little bit about what the truths are and what the myths are. 877 NFL Kick. Bob Papa, Coach Charlie Weiss. It is a Football Friday. Going to dive into the games, talk about the coaching carousel, all that much, much more here at Sirius XM NFL Radio.